by the way.
So, Chuck, we have a favorite guest back on the show today. I think this is his third time.
I guess we're finished with Hollywood right now.
On Blunt Force Truth, we're having none other than John Lott Jr. John, you know, our listeners know who he is. He is a brilliant economist on all things to do with the Second Amendment and on gun safety and on gun statistics. John runs the Crime Prevention Research Center, has written multiple books, which I have them all and have read them, and they are brilliant. And, John, we just want to welcome you to Blunt Force Truth. Great to have you back.
Well, thanks very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, John, I want to jump right in here with something. I've got a couple of places, so bear with me as I move around here. But this is something that you at Crime Prevention Research had recently done some work on, and that is the FBI is reporting that 6%? What's the number I'm looking for? 6% of mass shootings are stopped by a CPL holder. Is that the number? Or 8%?
It was 8% of active shootings are stopped by concealed handgun permit holders.
Now, how accurate?
There have been problems with this report from the FBI in the various versions that they put out. I've been reading FBI reports for 30 years, and there's always been kind of a Chinese wall between data gathering aspects of the FBI and any type of political actions that they might do, kind of the policy reports. Unfortunately, during the Obama administration, you started to see that wall kind of being breached. And they put out their first of these active shooting reports a month before the 2014 general elections in November. And it was pretty disturbing because they got national headlines at the top of different newspapers claiming that there had been this big increase from 2000 to 2013 in mass public shootings and active shooting type cases. Active shootings, just so you know, are cases where somebody may have fired a gun in public and nobody was shot, or worse, up through the types of mass public shootings that galvanized people's attention. And there were lots of problems with the report. They had missed a number of true mass public shootings during the beginning of the period that they had, and they had also relied on Google News searches to try to get these other less disastrous type cases where somebody may have fired a gun in public and nobody was shot or wounded. The problem when you use Google News searches is that cases fall off over time. And so you may have be good at getting recent cases. I mean, if you're looking at mass public shootings, you look at it the week after the attack, you may find 800 news stories. You look at it 10 years later, you may only find 400. Now, you're always going to find some cases for those. But, if you're talking about a case where a gun was fired in public and nobody was wounded or killed, you may only find one news story of that even right away. And 5 years later, you might not find it at all.
So what you're saying is...
And the problem is...
So what you're saying, John, is that you can't really trust these things.
Right. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, that they wouldn't use other types of news search devices to check this stuff. And anyway, there were lots of problems with it that exaggerated the increase over time. And if you fix those, there really wasn't a change that had occurred over time. And they admitted that they had problems, but they never went back and fixed it. The problem is that you still have the same biases in the later reports. So in the most recent reports that come out, they've missed half the cases where mass public shootings were stopped by permit holders. They just seem to miss those cases from the sample. And I've even gotten to admit some, but they still haven't fixed the report that they put out.
So the FBI is admitting to 8% were stopped by CPL holders, right?
Right.
What do you think is the real number? Because I would much more trust your number than theirs. What do you think is the real number?
I think it's about 17%.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me ask you.
These are active shooting cases.
So okay. that doesn't play in the political narrative that the left would want.
Yeah, I guess not. You know, it's and the problem is that these FBI reports get used in court cases and in the political debate all the time. I mean, 8% in this case is better than nothing, obviously, and 17% surely isn't all, but it's these kind of things add up over time.
So, John, when we look at the 17% number, so just help me and the audience out here a little bit. When are we back up here? Are there events outside of the 17% where a CPL holder may have ended an event before the event even became an event and it wasn't reported?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we have no way of knowing those types of things because, you know, if somebody brandishes a gun and stops an attack before a gun's even fired, before anybody's been shot or wounded, you know, it's very likely not to be a news story. I mean, one of the things that go ahead.
No, I was going to say I had an event that we've talked about in here before where a couple guys were probably going to carjack me. I pulled my jacket back. They could see my handgun. They put their hands in the air and they walked away. Now, obviously, right. That wasn't reported in an FBI statistic.
Right. Well, on our website at crimeresearch.org, we actually have dozens of dramatic mass public shootings that have been stopped by permit holders over the years. And with detailed discussions on them. And the amazing thing is that none of those got national news attention. You know, you'd be lucky to get two, you know, local news stories on it or one local news story. And I assume there's some that I don't even know about because they may not have gotten any coverage.
And why do you think that is? Why do you, I mean, I think we all know the answer, but why do you think they get no airplay?
Well, my guess is it's different reasons for the different cases. There are a couple cases, though, where there's actually been video of the hero stopping the attack. And I thought for sure I'd be able to get media coverage on those cases where you actually have video of it. But when I approached producers at different places, I was told, you know, it just would be political for them to go and run a story on that. And
it's pro Second Amendment. That's the problem.
I mean, they didn't phrase it in those terms. They just said it would be political. And my response was, I don't know how that's any more political than going and talking about the guns that are used in an attack or talking about how somebody obtained a gun to be able to be used in an attack.
So let me ask you a math question I saw on your site. So on your site, crimepreventionresearchcenter.org, you show that roughly 6% of Americans are now licensed to carry a handgun, correct?
Right.
And what percentage of people do you think, how does that percentage change by people who don't have to have a permit to carry a gun in some states?
Oh, one could only guess. There's some survey data that I have. I believe it was from Gallup that had asked. It was from Pew Research Center that asked people whether they carried a gun legally for protection. And it was something like over 5% regularly carried a gun, like almost every day. To carry it. And, you know, it didn't break it down by the states, though, that have permits versus none. And there's 14 states where in all or virtually all the state you can carry a permit concealed handgun or you can carry a concealed handgun without a permit.
Can you name those states, John, so that people know off the top
right.
of your head?
Well, I can try. I mean, there's Arizona, Wyoming, Montana is like 99.4% of the state you can carry without a permit. Arkansas, New Hampshire, Vermont, Maine, West Virginia, Mississippi, and geez, I'd have to look it up.
Texas has never been part of that yet, have they? Although they've tried, I think.
No, Texas just recent. Yeah, no, they've never been part of that. Mm-hmm. So you have to have a permit. It made it easier to get a permit recently, but you still have to have a permit.
I do find it interesting that in the Northeast, a few of the states that you named up there are very, very blue states, and yet you're able to carry a concealed weapon without a permit.
Well, New Hampshire's a purple state, but Maine is pretty blue, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've had there's a period of time recently where they've had a Republican governor and Republican controlled the state legislature, and it was during that time that they passed the law.
Mm-hmm. So
So
let me ask you a question as an economist and as an expert in this. If 5% of the country is carrying a handgun on a daily basis, and if 17% of active shootings are stopped by someone legally carrying a handgun, would the assumption be, would I be correct in assuming that more people carrying legal handguns and being trained with handguns would be the quickest route to reducing mass shootings or active shootings? Is that a fair assumption?
Well, I mean, I think so. I mean, you look at police, surveys of police, police think that that would be very helpful in reducing it. I mean, the thing is, I think police are extremely important, but police can't be there all the time. They virtually always arrive on the crime scene after a crime's occurred. And when you're talking about something like a mass public shooting, you know, it's kind of the equivalent of a terrorist attack that you have there. The problem that you have is that these terrorists have real strategic advantages by being able to choose the time and the place for the attack. So if you have a police officer there in uniform, they can decide either to wait for the officer to leave before they attack, pick another target, or if they're determined to go and do that particular target, they go and they try to kill the officer first before they kill other people, because they know that the officer has a gun for sure, and they're not sure whether others might have a gun. Or if it's a gun-free zone, if they kill the officer first, then they have free rein in terms of going after other people that are there.
Do you ever see this gun-free zone thing overturned? I mean, ever? Are we stuck in this just because it's kind of been around for, what, I don't know, 25 years or 20?
Biden.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Biden's the one who got this passed. And
Get a Shotgun Joe is the guy who got us that.
Yeah. But do you ever see this being overturned and people looking at this responsibly and saying, you know, this is nothing but a target for bad people?
Right.
And is anyone trying to overturn it?
Yeah. Well, it's slowly changing over time. I remember when I had an op-ed in 1998 in the Wall Street Journal calling for these things to be changed. And at that time, I was pretty much alone, except for a few radio talk show hosts, it seemed like. Mm-hmm. But you go and look around now and you see 20 of the states actually have teachers or staff in K-12 schools carrying. It varies a lot across those states. I mean, you have places like Ohio and Texas, which both have about 200 school districts each that allow teachers and staff to carry. You have places like Utah and Alabama, which pretty much if you have a concealed carry permit, you can carry. You know, there's estimates that about 5% of the teachers in Utah carry every day, and about 10 to 12% of the staff carry regularly. You know, so it varies a lot, but that, you know, and you look across for school, for colleges, you have something like about 14 states right now that allow anybody with a concealed carry permit to carry on college campuses, and another 21 states leave it up to the individual schools, though there are very few schools in those places that do. I mean, some big places like Michigan State, for example, do. But, you know, it's gradually changing. When you see states in the past adopting concealed carry laws, you know, Texas or other places that allowed or allow individual property owners to post signs for whether people can carry, usually you'll see a lot of signs go up right at first, but then after, you know, 2, 3, 4 years, when people kind of realize that the concealed carry permit holders aren't the problem, those signs usually come down. So it's something that's changed over time. And, you know, hopefully, I mean, one of the things that happens is you look at like the original concealed carry laws. People were going and saying, look, this is going to be disaster. There's going to be blood in the street. Concealed carry permit holders are going to go and lose their temper and shoot other people. You know, as more states adopted the law, it became harder and harder to make those types of claims, because you could go and look and say, look, these permit holders are extremely law-abiding. They rarely get into any problems for any reason. They lose their concealed carry permits at thousands or tens of thousands of one percentage point, again, for any firearms-related violation.
John, aren't CPL holders more law-abiding than police on average?
Yeah, well, right. I mean, police are rarely convicted of any type of crime or any type of firearms-related violation. But permit holders are convicted of firearm-related violations at about one-tenth the rate that police are. So, you know, it's...
So we are literally the Boy Scouts of America.
Yeah, well, I mean, permit holders, law-abiding citizens who go through the process to get a concealed carry permit, know that they have a lot to lose if they go and behave improperly. You know, if you become a convicted felon, your life is going to be completely changed. And somebody who, you know, has a business license or a lawyer or whatever, you go become a convicted felon, you're going to lose your business license, you're going to lose your license to practice law, and you know, even after you get out of prison, and your life's going to be dramatically changed, and they know that they have a lot at risk, and so they're very careful.
John, we're going to take a short break here. We're going to be back with John Law Jr., and I have a question for him right after these messages.
Folks, we're going to take a minute here to talk about one of our great sponsors and one of Chuck's favorite products,
which is
Dermend. And Chuck, we're going to talk about the Dermend anti-itch. And what I want to explain to people, if you're, you know, if you're new to the show, you might not have heard this. Dermend has an anti-itch product that is unlike anything else out on the market. And obviously you can use it for chronic itches and for bug bites, but it also works on another thing. And that is Dermend focuses their products on mature skin. And as we age, we start to get this condition called pruritus. And pruritus is really a condition where you might start to get a kind of a random itch on your shin or on your arm or someplace on your body, and you don't really see a reason for it.
Yeah, I got it on my arm, on my left forearm. That's where it showed up on me.
Yeah, and there was no cause. It's not like it was a rash.
I couldn't figure out what it was. It was like almost like a rash. It was weird.
And what happened when you put Dermend on it?
Well, the thing that I love about this product, as opposed to other products, and I have tried everything for itches, for bug bites, for all kinds of stuff, because I live in Central Texas where everything will eat you and you'll scratch. So the thing I like about it is it's instant. I mean, you put it on and it's gone. The itch is gone. And I don't understand that, but I tell you what, I'll take it every time. And with the other products that I tried, I have to admit, that did not happen. Sometimes it didn't happen at all. But the quickness, how it reacts, your body reacts to it just right away, is just amazing to me, and it lasts.
Well, Chuck, you may not understand what makes it work, but I'm going to explain it for you.
Oh, dear.
So typical itch products are made out of steroids.
Mm-hmm.
Hydrocortisone.
Yes. Cortisone, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most people don't know that's a steroid.
Well, I know, and it's like a selling point for them, too.
Yeah, because they don't call it steroid.
Hydrocortisone, you go, all right, this has got to be good.
Right, but they don't say it's a steroid.
Mm-hmm.
So when you use hydrocortisones, especially when you have senior itch, you're thinning the collagen layer under the skin. So you temporarily calm the itch down, and then you have the potential to make the itch worse in the future because you're thinning the skin further. There is no steroid, no hydrocortisone in any of the Dermen products. So Dermen.
And I noticed, by the way, just to reinforce this, I noticed when I would use those products, and believe me, I've used them, I've lathered them on, that I'll start to itch, and when I itch, I don't just scratch the skin, it starts to bleed.
Yeah, you'll tear it.
I'll tear the skin, right. That's what I was going for.
Yes, because the skin's getting thinner. You are aging, my friend.
Yeah, well.
It's happening to all of us.
Yeah.
At any rate, Dermend products that are made for those of us that are getting older. It does not have steroids in it. It has something called Promoxine HCL, and this is a completely different technology than all the other itch products that are on the market. I mean, it's totally different. And as you know, it's got some great moisturizers in the product also.
All their products have great moisturizers in them.
Yeah, and they also have the bruise product, which is great for bruising. If you happen to take blood thinners, another thing that you do, I'm giving up all your medical problems here.
Thanks a lot.
And they've got the product for fragile skin, which I don't think you've been using the fragile skin product. In all disclosure, we have to say that you have not been using that.
No, I have not.
But now I'm going to rat another person out. But my wife's used the fragile skin product.
Oh, does she?
On her hands. It makes her hands look younger.
Well, maybe
will give you away. Especially for women. Women can look, put makeup on, but you can't put makeup on your hands. So anyways, you can find the Dermend anti-itch product at CVS Pharmacy and Walgreens, and you can find the Dermend Bruise product at those stores, plus Meijer has it. You can get it at Walmart. I mean, there's pretty much any place you can get the Bruise product. But folks, try this stuff out. Text us, email us, send us a candygram. Let us know how this is working for you. And I'd really like a candygram.
I tell you something. I really encourage people to try this because you will not be disappointed. Unless I am some kind of unique person and it only works for me, you will not be disappointed. You will not be without this. I promise you.